Excitingly nervous, I think, is what he meant to say there. There's 96 slides. If I spent 1 minute on each slide, we'd be here quite a bit. So not counting the first and the last and a few in the middle. So see if you can count how many we got, and you'll know how long we got to go. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. This was a trip in Ica, Peru. First, I want to start off by saying thank you to every member here and every other person that had a hand in this, whether it was financially or with your prayers. They're very much appreciated. The work could not have gotten done if it weren't for every single one of you, and we really, really appreciate that. June 6th through June 14th was the week that we were there. There was a two-week program, however, a two-week campaign, but Phil and myself and the rest of us were there the week after. The first week that they were there, they set up their visits around, and they set up Bible studies, and they set up appointments with each doctor so that we could run them through the clinic nice and easy and quick. A little background on where we were. Obviously, Florida, if you don't know where that is, you need to get out of the church building right now. We flew down here to Peru, and Lima is about where that P in Peru is right there. From Lima, we took a four-hour bus ride down to Ica. It's a small desert town. It's got a population of 219,856 as of 2005 census. It was established in 1563. There were two Churches of Christ in that city. However, they merged, and now there is one Church of Christ, which is in Ica, Peru. This is up on a hill. This is the compound that we worked at. This is where our second home was. A lot of the work went along. It's this area right here was the compound. Very nice facilities for third world country. The workers from Palm Beach Lakes, we have Maria, we have Phil, Valerie back here, Brittany, myself, and Judy. Maria was on an evangelistic team. She also worked some in the triage in the clinic. Phil Porter, he was a pill counter. I don't know what else he did. So he counted pills. He'll tell you about the pharmacy. I'm just kidding. He was the head of the pharmacy. Valerie worked with a lot of the school children. Brittany was an interpreter in the clinic. Judy was a nurse. She did her nursing stuff there. And I just roamed around. No, I'm just kidding. I was in charge of the evangelistic team, and I also worked in the clinic. So that's where that team was. These aren't just clouds from 30,000 feet. This is actually pretty low clouds. This is why Lima, Peru, the capital, doesn't have much sunshine. And to give you an example, you can see the cloud covering through the mountains coming into Lima. This picture may not mean much to you, but it means a whole lot to me. First of all, let me explain. Those cars are not making noise right now. You can't hear them. But every car is probably honking as they're going by. And there's no pedestrian crosswalks. There literally is Frogger going across the highway. I don't know how people survive in the city, but it's a custom for them just to go across when it's clear and horns are honking. You know a car is coming. You better hear it. But this is a very, very important picture to me because this was a feeling of outside of my barriers. I'd never been out of the country other than the Bahamas, let alone a third world country. This was near the airport, so it was very populated. But standing here, it was, I guess when you think there's no place like home, you stand there and you're just scared. You don't know the language. You don't know where you are. If you lost the group, you have no idea where the police, you don't know anything about this area. So that's why this picture, this is our first evening while we were there walking to get some food. We went to Pizza Hut. So we were slowly getting into the country and what it had to give. But being that everyone drives so crazy, this is one of their pizza delivery vehicles. I would say their slogan would be 3 minutes or less. Walking to Pizza Hut, I saw a dog walking on the road, and I took a picture of it. And the group with me, it was actually Casey Frizzell, Terry Frizzell's daughter. She laughed at me. I go, "What's so funny?" She goes, "That's the first of many. You're going to see dogs this entire trip." I laughed a little bit. So, you know, there's another one I found, and there's another one I found. I'm just kidding. This is actually a delicacy in Peru. It is a cuy. It's a guinea pig. Now, this gentleman right here, he actually ordered this. And I was brave enough to try it, only at the tiniest amount. He ate that whole thing. It's a delicacy, but it definitely would not be worth trying, unless you like trying new things. Where'd it go? Next slide. Okay. Yes, keep it simple. Chicken and rice. That's the way I like it. It was very good. Very good. This is our phone booth trip before we went to Ica, the bus ride. You can see Phil and Valerie and Terry. But it was very cheap. These are very popular, like internet cafes. You can make international calls. Very inexpensive. This is the traffic in Ica. Once we got there, I didn't remember the story until I actually saw this picture. Our Greyhound bus that had the whole campaign on it, which was over 150, 100? On the bus, there was probably about 80, 90 people on that bus. It's a long bus. This is not a normal bus that you would see around here. So these cars, again, it's a quiet picture, but it's very loud. They're very loud honkers and very different horns of all types. But the driver, he was a very good driver. He finally got so frustrated that he ended up taking out a rebar from a building, kind of hit the window, and it almost shattered it, but it didn't. And Valerie got shattered. She got showered with rust and steel. But we were all yelling and screaming, but I think he was just so tired of dealing with this traffic, and he wanted to get to where we were. The reason we had to turn around and go some alleys is because one little car was in the way, and no one was there, and his horn wasn't loud enough, apparently. This is introduction day. This is when we all met. The speaker of the entire campaign spoke. You'll see him a little bit later. But just once again, this is our first meal together. I call this Understanding Smile. You all know that Brittany Milton speaks a lot of Spanish. So she's very comfortable, and she's probably looking at me because Luis over here was saying Spanish to me, and I was just dumbfounded, and she's laughing because she knew exactly what he was saying. The hotel we stayed in, there was an earthquake 2007. It measured 8.0 on the Richter scale, and this was the sixth floor of the hotel that was no longer. There was still damage throughout the entire city, but this is the hotel that we actually stayed in, and I snuck up to the top and took some pictures of that damage of the sixth floor. I think they fooled me and said that my room was going to be up there. But I'm not an early bird, but we had to be in the lobby by 6 a.m. 6:15, the bus left, and if you didn't meet the bus, you were cleaning toilets, is what they told us. There was an admission to get in. This is the compound that you saw from overhead. There was a small admission, and we were wondering if everybody got their ticket as we lined up, and it was hugs. You had to give Jack a hug before you got in. That was his admission into the compound. Once you came in, there was a group. We gathered here. They had lessons, devotionals, our meals we had here, our evening worship we had here. This is set up for the group to sit down, and you'll see this in a second. Congas and Singas, that's the two types of water you can order in Peru or in other countries. But Congas and Singas, you're going to understand here in a minute why I said this is important. But I had mixed drink. I had powders that you would put in water to make it better, Kool-Aid, energy drinks. So I found out real quick that it does not work with Congas because it was Old Faithful. One morning I was setting up my drink at 5:45 in the morning, making my drinks ready, and this was the first time I was mixing it with Congas. And Phil Porter's luggage and belongings are all there, and I put this mix into the water, and it started foaming up a little bit. I said, oh, that's neat, and it kept foaming, and I tried to clear it, and it kept foaming, and I literally had to push the top back on, and it sprayed water everywhere, and we had to rush the flood away from Phil's belongings. But that was kind of a funny thing. I took this picture. We were just talking about Brittany Milton. Her comment was, it's the people that worry are the ones that get sick. We just made a comment because she was laying down on the concrete, just sleeping there, hanging with the kids. And we're just like, Brittany. She's like, it's the worried people that get sick. So as we're talking about this, he gets out his toothbrush and starts brushing his teeth. This is Ron Rohr. He's a medical doctor at Palms... Jupiter, he's the CEO of a hospital there, chief medical director. But he's a really funny guy. Like I said, this is where we would meet. This is our group gathering here one morning. We would have our lessons in the morning. I was asked to do the Thursday night lesson, which was really exciting. I learned a lesson. I did the senior high or the youth group lesson for the men one night, and it was my first time ever teaching a class with a translator. And I'm trying to learn the language of Spanish. And I'm pretty good at it. I know enough to know that I don't know any, but that's enough. So as I'm talking to these senior high group, I would say something in English, my translator would say something, and I would listen to my translator, and I'd try to match up what I just said, and then it would get quiet, and why is it so quiet now? Oh, I'm supposed to talk again. So then I'd talk again, and he'd translate, and I'd listen, and it was very, very difficult. But I got a very good learning lesson from it. While I was speaking, you know that we have distractions. We have a phone ring, we have a baby cry, we have somebody cough loud. We have distractions here. But the distractions here are just amazing. You hear horns all day. You hear, instead of an amen, you get a chirp of a car alarm. You get this one point. I read my journal again to remember this point. as we were up there, there was a gentleman on a bicycle that had a loudspeaker that was just yelling things in Spanish. And it literally sounded like it was one of those war announcements. And clear the streets, duck and cover. It sounded like that. It was so different. And I found out he was basically saying, batteries, I'll buy your batteries. If you have batteries, I'll buy your batteries. I'm like, oh, that's not too scary. But it was just very, very different. I did a lesson. I was talking about the lesson. There were two things. It was be still and know. And there were two separate events that caught everybody's eyes that made everyone stop and go, what's going on here? The first one was when the sun came out. It may sound funny to you, but the temperature would range from high 30s, low 40s in the morning and in the evening, all the way up to the afternoon of high 80s, low 90s. So it was just a layer of clothing you had to layer yourselves to be prepared. But we were all sitting there. It was probably low 40s, and we're just cold wind, and the sun came out for a few minutes. And the entire group just looked and stared at the sun. It was like they'd never seen it before. This was an interesting day. Also, the second time that we were all still and knew something was up. But this cloud came in. I was wondering if it was a frontal system. Now, the reason I say that is because the lady we had to study with, she lived there for 15 years, and she's only seen it rain one time. Now, let alone all the gringos, all the Americans are there. They've never seen it rain there. Sure enough, this cloud, this little cloud, brought this rain. So I drew rain in the ground, and that's raindrops. Now, it may not mean much to you, but we were running around, we were amazed, we were just looking up at the sky. It's like we'd never seen rain before. And the same thing happened with a jet going by. I heard some of the Spanish kids yelling out, avion, avion, for airplane flying in the sky. This is Jack Farber. He is the director of the campaign. He had one key word, which is flexible. Bind us together, the Lord, bind us together was the song we would sing after every morning. After every meeting, we'd sing that song, so that was drilled in our heads as well. But super nice guy. Brittany Milton made a comment. She said, this is the most structured event I'd ever been on, even with his keyword of flexible. It was very, very structured. We had men's classes in the morning. We talked about how we're not just here to get people wet. We're here to actually teach the gospel. So that was very important. We had a series of lessons there. That was Terry Frizzell teaching that. The lines would form well before the clinic would open. Then they would get into triage. Once they got into triage, we had the young, and we had the old, and we had every walk of life. Once they're in triage, we get their information, we take their vital signs. Brittany Milton would translate to me that this gentleman had problems with his chest, and he was telling me with his hand, I have problems with my chest. And then Brittany Milton would tell me he has problems with his chest. As you can see right there, she's doing it again, and I said, Brittany, I can read his hand signals. And so then we had to hug and make up there. Patients, there were 1,773 patients seen by the doctors. They would come through after triage, whatever problems they had. Phil will touch on that real quick. But 1,773 patients came through in that two-week period. Just more of Brittany translating for the kids. They're great. Anytime you need a translator for Spanish, grab one of the kids in America that have Spanish-speaking families. They will, 6, 5, 4, even at work here, I can grab a four-year-old and they'll be able to translate for me. So that's a little tip. Scribing for a doctor? Again, various doctor visits. We had, I believe, 5 doctors there that we'd able to move them through rather quickly. Anything from routine checkups to most commonly worms for the little kids. This gentleman came in. He was in a motorcycle accident. I don't know anybody that was in a motorcycle accident, but he didn't take his stitches out, and his leg became necrotic, so we had to touch that up a little bit. That's very true. Very true. We even had a dentist there on site. There were 257 dental patients and 238 teeth extracted. I did not hear any screams, did you? So they did a very good job. There was no screaming. The pharmacy, and I will let Phil touch up on the pharmacy real quick.
This one?
The right, no, the right arrow.
That one?
No. Nope.
Yeah. First, I just wanted to say that my daughter and I have gone down several times. And this year, there were 4 people that went down for the first time, Brad, Brittany, and Maria, and Judy. And I was very thankful for them going. You know, it's for a week, and it may not seem like it's that difficult, but you can ask any of the people that have gone. It's a very exhausting but very fulfilling time. And I appreciate the work and effort that they put into it. With the medical situation that's there, most of the people where we were at, we're not able to afford what medical care they have. There is government health care, but you got to really ask before you take it. And the other people have to pay. The person with the motorcycle accident could not pay for the medical care that he needed, which is why he's in such a bad shape. And the group that was there was able to help him quite a bit, left him with a lot of antibiotics. So hopefully he's not going to lose his leg, though that is still a possibility. The majority of the problems that the people have are basically due to the lack of hygiene. There's not really good clean water. There's not really good sewage system. A lot of people don't have good nutrition. So there's a lot of problems, intestinal problems, parasite problems. And so a lot of the medicines that we gave were for that, and a lot of antibiotics for a variety of bacterial infections that we were dealing with. In the pharmacy, basically we were just dealing with the scripts the doctors wrote. We filled the prescriptions and had a lot of people that would help pull the stuff out of boxes and get it ready to send out. A lot of times, the room that we were in was one of the warmest rooms and one of the most protected rooms. So when people got tired, they'd come in and say, what can I do? So they could sit down and rest for a little bit and keep busy getting the stuff, because we give them the large boxes. And then we break them down for a single-use therapy, you know, a 30-day supply or 60-day supply for the medicines as needed. We'd get the prescriptions, if you have a piece of paper, like what you can see there, then we'd fill them, and we'd have different people that would take them and take them to the individual and explain to them how to use them, what to use them for as well. And at this point, which was the last point in the pharmacy, we would see if any of the people at this point wanted a Bible study. Because we deliberately didn't do it when they first came in the door, because we didn't want people thinking they had to have a Bible study so they could go through the clinic. So we'd wait until they were completely done and ready to leave. And then we would try and set up a Bible study, either right there at that time or a later time. And we were able to set up probably well over 100 different studies at that point in time.
I cannot emphasize how much work the youth group did there, both from Peru and from America. They did so much work. 2,716 school children were contacted and taught Bible class lessons. This is like a Where's Waldo, but she's really not camouflaged in this picture. But they were tremendous with the kids. They were great. They got them so involved, and it's a great learning lesson for anyone who's trying to learn Spanish, because those kids will teach you. Like I said, they were just so into it. This guy in the red shirt, he really doesn't look much about excited here, and then I got the close-up picture, and he is ready to go. I don't know what game they're playing, but he is ready. Like I said, I was on an evangelistic team. This is our team number 6. Real quick, because I'm going to fly through these. Member of the church in Lima. This lady was from America. She helped out with the kids that were on site of the studies. Brittany was helped out as translating. Abraham's a graduate of the Lima School of Preaching, and so is Ricardo. So I had 2 preachers and basically 3 translators, so it was a really good team to have. We had on-site studies. We had 573 Bible studies. This lady had a different religious influence her entire life. The greatest thing about being there is the respect they have for God's Word. Here, it's very tough because that's what you think it says. But there, they said, oh, it says that. So it's very, very uplifting when you have people like this. Right next door, we had another study going on with this young teenager. She wanted to commit to studying more as well, so that was exciting. Then we went out and about through the roads of Ica, found some interesting sights. I don't know how they made it under all the power lines. That's not the church building that's coming up next, but the city streets. This is the church building that they're in now. They are building a new building. I didn't get a picture of that on the slide, but this is our group, and we got a picture in front of the church building. We merged with other groups that were out and about in the street, so it looked really big. You said, wow, there's a lot of people on the street, and then you turn around and take a picture, and it's just third world looking. This is one of the shops, very common jobs. They have shopkeepers like this, and they also have taxi drivers. Those are the two that I really knew and saw that they were doing in the country. We stopped to this house. We turned around. We heard a baa. We're like, what a baa? What's a baa doing here? And then we looked up, and there's 2 sheep on the roof. I mean, these are just things that you see in another country that you don't expect to really look for. Bible studies through the windows are very common. We actually were studying this was a Jehovah Witness, and we had some good points, and we studied up, and we just invited them to the church. We said, you know, come and see. Use that line. This is a very, very good picture. It shows everyone doing their jobs. As far as married, she's keeping the kids entertained. Loved it. Louise helping this lady with a Bible study. We had another Bible study going on up there. It's very uplifting to see all the Bible studies. And then we were invited back to this lady's house, which is very uplifting. This lady didn't know much about the scripture, but we sat with her for 45 minutes to an hour, probably even longer. But you could just see the progress that she had. She was reading scripture for scripture. And Ricardo, I probably understood 25 to 50%, but Ricardo had his camera out because he could know that she was ready to be cut to the heart. And it was just pretty amazing to watch, as in this morning, just watching the seed be planted. And as, like I said, our goal was to have the baptism and continue the strength of the church. We had to hold their legs down, keep them down. That was my job there for that one. This lady, we had a study with her, as I said earlier, and she was baptized after that study. This is what I call true salvation. That water, I don't kid you, was probably 50 degrees. It was miserable. I mean, it was cold that night before. It wasn't like that, but it was so cold. We didn't think it was that cold until you put your hands in, and your hands are numb. So I couldn't believe it. So this gentleman, his job was to heat the pool. Everyone had a job. He had a very large pitcher of water that he'd boil and put it in, and we made it semi-lukewarm, so that was nice to have. This is a gentleman that looks like a friend of mine here. I don't know why I put that in. I'm very sorry for that. We were able to go up and do some sightseeing. We went to the mountain, and Valerie, she wanted to go flying, so... And then towards the end... we all had the opportunity to go to a small oasis town and go dune buggying, which was amazing. It was fun. It was a roller coaster. We got to do sandboarding. If you can see Valerie, the next picture you'll see, but Valerie's got no mascara running. She looks happy. And then after this, we went sandboarding, kind of like snowboarding, but we laid on our bellies and went down a very long hill, a very long dune, and Valerie was hurt. I don't know how much dirt she ate, but she had a lot of dirt in her face, and it was a very sad moment for me. But like I said, here are the numbers again: 573 Bible studies, 48 baptisms in that 2-week period, 2 restorations, and we had a new converts class, and that had 153 people. It's alive and it's working all over this country. The greatest thing you have to do here is when you go to another country and someone asks you how it was. Or how was your trip to Peru? I've had so many opportunities to talk with people based upon how my trip to Peru was. What were you doing in Peru? It opened up opportunities. And when they ask, how was your trip to Peru? The first thing I tell them is humbling. Very humbling. You come back thanking yourself, thanking everything that lines up to where you can have a pillow to put your head on. It was just extremely humbling. And I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for allowing us to do that.
En nombre de los miembros de la Palma Iglesia de Cristo y creyos que visualan el trabajo de la misión de la Unión, yo doy la bendiga esta oportunidad de hablarte esta noche. On behalf of the members of the La Palma Church of Christ and those that oversee the mission work of the region, I welcome this opportunity to speak with you this evening. Like the lesson this morning, showing how the Lord could take something insignificant, at least as far as humans are concerned, and do marvelous and wonderful things with it, so too there's a place in Central America that shows evidence of His hand at work and His workers who are achieving His plans. One way I like to kind of say about it is the unofficial theme. There are doors that are slammed open. Like a medical team that arrives, they've got dozens of totes. They're filled with medicines, but they've not been properly approved for import into a country for use because the system of approval takes so long.
And each time, the customs people, for some reason or for the other, ignore the rules and let it through. Doors slammed open. Or the fact that the Ministry of Health says that the credentials for your doctors, well, they're not approved. They're not properly stamped. And they go ahead and stamp them anyway. Or the fact that the fee for starting a private school in El Salvador is $5,000. But for you, we'll lower it to zero. Because the Minister of Education likes Christian schools. Doors slammed open. Or because the mayor of La Palma will transport leaders of the team to various agencies because it takes so long to get things approved. What normally would take years, the mayor is able to help pass it through. Doors are slammed open. In August of 2006, somebody says, could it be possible we could open a Christian school here? Well, every obstacle is overcome. And in February of 2007, La Palma Christian School opens. Towns that were serviced by the medical missions teams in March, they're able to open doors with churches that are able to be planted in about four or five communities. But in order to plant those, we need people to preach. Wouldn't it be great if we could have a preacher school? What if we could open a preacher school in La Palma? So a desire is expressed that maybe we could find a way to open a preacher school. An opportunity is presented to have video teleconferencing. It's created. And La Palma Bible Institute opened last month. Doors are being slammed open in a place called La Palma. And the Lord said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, what great things can occur? Where is El Salvador? It's in Central America. It's located on the Pacific coast. It's one of seven countries. It is the smallest country, but it is the most densely populated. It is the only Central American country also that is only bordered to the Pacific Ocean. La Palma is located in what we would call the state or the department of Chalatenango, which is in the northern region of the country. It's up near Honduras. You can see from the map there where La Palma is located. What happened was, in 2003, a Hispanic member of the church in southwest Missouri was telling elders of the area, there is this place in El Salvador that's really close to Honduras and Guatemala. It is ripe for planting. We need to go there. And so a group traveled, and they saw that what NEO had to say was absolutely true. And so, in June 2004, two preachers were selected out of the Miramonte School of Preaching, which is now called the San Salvador Bible Institute. Since that time, six members of this congregation have traveled down. Josh and Kara have been down. Troy Spradlin. Allison Price has been. I've been. We've all been at least two times. Kelly Afron went for her first visit this year. Two other members sitting in here right now have verbally committed to go very soon to La Palma, and another person has said that they wish to go in June with us. The church now, in just a short period of 4 years, really, has an adult attendance of about 70 members and children about 60. But the church has grown. It's grown into a regional work now. We work with the Ocotepeque Church, which is located over in Honduras. You can see La Palma with the red star. Ocotepeque is just across the border in Honduras. We get some work that we do with the people out of El Tule, which is located south of La Palma, just about where the mountains begin to come out into the valley. But the work with the Ocotepeque Church has even spawned now, and they have started two congregations, one over in La Antigua and the other in San Francisco. As I mentioned with the medical teams, there are five churches ready to be planted. We don't have preachers yet. The first one is in Tehutla, and I'll mention Marvin in a little bit, who is attending San Salvador Bible Institute and is also working at the La Palma Institute in order to quicken his studies that he might graduate to become the minister to help start the church in Tehutla. But four other congregations in San Jose, San Ignacio, Grandios, and Los Planos are waiting for preachers to go in and begin the churches there. It is now a regional growth. Ocotepeque is just across the border. They've had at least 30 baptisms since that work has really sprung up. Jorge, who is the preacher there, was very instrumental at the beginning of the La Palma work. Jorge had already been working with the Ocotepeque Church. and was very instrumental with La Palma in the work that was there, and so now he's getting help in return. Since December, when a children's program was begun in Ocotepeque, the work has really expanded there. And the church has even expanded its auditorium, as you can see here. Here is Jorge. The church meets in his garage, which was expanded, doubled in size. The oldest daughter agreed to give up her bedroom. They've now expanded to the point that they have outgrown, literally, they sit outside because they filled up the auditorium so much. But they have purchased land, they've bought the land and paid for it, and they have plans to build onto that land very, very soon. The La Palma Christian School, it's a means to an end with regard to evangelism, to help grow a generation of Christians who will be evangelistic. From the mission statement for La Palma, to grow a generation of children into self-supporting Christians who will be evangelists, planting and being active members in self-supporting congregations of the Church of Christ, spreading the gospel worldwide. It all started in 2007. That was just last year. Their school year runs from January to November. And during that year, it was K through 4. This year, from January to November, it's K through 5. Next year, they have more than 70 students, but next year, K through 6. This church is growing. Growing so much that they're outgrowing the building, and it will be expanded next year. So I will be looking for people to help out with construction, Chuck, to go down and help us, Chuck. Children in El Salvador don't have the same opportunities as children here in the United States. Many can't afford to go to a private school like La Palma Christian School. They have to enter the workforce at a very early age, or they have to go to a crowded public school. Children now are able to get educated in subjects that are required by the state, but they also learn about God. They learn how to pray. They learn about the church and how to become a Christian and be the Christian leaders of the future. Sponsorships and scholarships are given to the students by members of individuals here in the United States in order to help them to go to school, to pay for their school expenses. But helping a child to go to school is also an evangelistic tool. In June of this year, one of the mothers of a young child, a six-year-old, a first grader, she was baptized strictly because her daughter attended that school and because of the relationship that she had established with the teachers and with the other people involved with the school. Something interesting about education here in the United States, in elementary education, on average, the United States spends $10,000 per year per child. In La Palma Christian School, where they have only 80 students, their budget is $20,000. The local public high school in La Palma has 290 students. They only have 10 computers. Only four of them were working this summer. In La Palma, I worked with the computer lab. In La Palma Christian School, the student body of 77, they have 13 working computers in their lab. In June of this year, we were able to donate to the local public school some monitors to help increase their capacity. They really like having a Christian school in their community. I'm sorry, I hit the button one too fast, but that last thing was just reminding us that La Palma Christian School is a means to an end with regard to growing a generation of Christians to be evangelistic. The children's sponsor program first began in La Palma in 2005, and it's grown to include 85 children. The program is just $25 a month that people pay to provide food and clothing, medicine. And if the student does not attend the La Palma Christian School, it also helps to pay for their needed school supplies. The program currently is full in La Palma. There have been at least 40 baptisms from this program alone. The sponsor program in Ocotepeque was started in 2007, in December of 2007, and it's full with 50 children. What do we mean by saying it's full? It's full because we can't administer the programs effectively any longer with the children that are in it. It's just too much tremendous work on behalf of those people who are in the congregations in order to manage. But there are 135 children who are receiving help because of contributions. La Palma Bible Institute. Here are the two ministers I mentioned earlier, Jose and Jesus. They are missionaries to La Palma. First began in June of 2004. This is their work. They are missionaries, even though they are both from the country of El Salvador. They're single. This is their mission work. Three other people are attending. Carlos and Noe are beginning their first term. Marvin is attending church in, is attending and working at the San Salvador Bible Institute on weekends. And he attends classes at La Palma Bible Institute in order to further his education and also to accelerate his graduation. He is the one who is from Tehutla and plans to plant that church as he graduates. They're participating in classes that originate in Abilene, Texas, as well as Portland, Oregon. And even though the teachers are thousands of miles away because of the video conferencing, they're able to see the teacher, and the teacher's able to see them, and they're able to interact. It's kind of interesting that the expenses of this Bible Institute only run about $75 per month. Most of that goes just to pay for the high-speed internet connection and to pay for the room rent. I think they also have a little bit in the budget, maybe for a mop, a bucket, and a broom, that kind of thing. But it's kind of interesting in a town that has so little infrastructure and technology that we're using the latest technology to teach preachers to plant the word and start planting more churches. Of course, the students who attend the Bible Institute are expected to do field work each week, and they do that. Jose and Jesus are also attending just so that they might also increase their capacity. In the months of June and in March, by the way, this is a mission effort that goes every 3 months. They are there in either February, March, June, September, and December. In March and June, there were 5 baptisms that occurred during those 2 trips. There were some baptisms that were reported having occurred between the 2 trips, and I believe there were a couple, though I don't have the numbers since our effort there in June. But the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, well, they take it literally there. Medically, the work in March was focused on the mountain villages of the region. This is where the people do not have clinics. It's either too far or too hard for them to come down the mountain and travel into La Palma. Just over 1,000 patients were seen during the 1 week time, and that represents about 1/3 of the population of the villages that were attended, where the clinics were held. The distribution of medical supplies and the equipment into the individual homes included things like wheelchairs and canes and walkers and potties and other small medical equipment. And the larger items like x-ray machines and hospital beds and carts and stands and tables and such were provided to the clinic. And I hesitate to really to use the word hospital. I think you could ask Allison about that. It's called a hospital, but it's more like a clinic in La Palma. And she's shaking her head like, not even that. Over 250,000 pills were dispensed. I don't know how many you dispensed, but 250,000 were dispensed of various sorts during the 2 weeks. In June of this month, of June of this year, rather, there were 38 missionaries who went down, traveled to La Palma between June 7th and June 21st. 17 of those were first-timers. 8 of those were teenagers. Much of the work focused in working with the Christian school. It now has grades K through 5 and more than 70 students. It's a school of choice for the community because of the student ratio, student-teacher ratio, and because of the computer lab that I mentioned. We're committed to teaching the children English so that they will be able to enter a workforce someday to communicate as needed. And as I mentioned, it is a contemporary evangelistic tool, as Ana Cecilia Hernandez was baptized on June 18th. She's the mother of Roxana, who's the 6-year-old attending the school. We conducted VBS for the church and the community 3 nights a week. The attendance for these events ranged anywhere from 60 to 100. I don't know, but maybe the thunderstorms and the rain had something to do with the attendance. Kelly and Carol were very instrumental in this. For much of the time that we were there, we had a local Christian doctor who was there. She was kept busy with a lot of requests. She even performed a minor surgery in the local clinic/hospital. Our nurses were occupied a lot of time with the illnesses that were presented by the church members as well as the members of the community. And yes, that dark space is supposed to be there. It's kind of my catch-up spot. It's known by the members of the community that we have a lot of medicines that are on stock, and we give them out free of charge. It's great to be able to help somebody in such a way and to know that God and the church will get the glory for the work that's being done. Also, a local Christian dentist was also with us the second week, and she conducted teaching. I think there's one photo in here of her teaching the children how to properly brush. She got on to me because I wasn't brushing properly. She also did some dental work, though I don't know how many extractions she did. There's one picture in here that I got the nice picture of the young lady as she's being shot with the needle. I got about 4 shots of progressing between to the last shot. We monitored and worked with the children's program in both La Palma and Ocotepeque. These programs have a combined 133 children in them. Listen to this. Just since December, starting this program, the program in Ocotepeque, Honduras is new, having started in December, and it has resulted in 14 baptisms, 2 restorations, and 2 families that have come back together, family reconciliations, just since December. We helped with nightly programs for the young people of the church in La Palma during the first week. Attendance for that was about in the 30s. The enthusiasm was high by the students. During the second week, we had worship at the community center as well as the VBS. Three were baptized because of those efforts. We may never know, of course, all the results of the efforts of preaching and teaching. One of the church members is wheelchair-bound. She's 25 years old. There's that picture. A wheelchair-bound young woman. The road to her home is not paved. It's very, very rough. In order for her to get up the small incline into her home, her father would literally have to carry her up the hill. So outside of her home, it's often muddy and it's dangerous for both her and her father to come in and out of the home. So one of the major works assigned for that week that we were there, which Kelly and Kara were very involved in, was to build a set of concrete steps and to pour a slab outside of the door to make it easy for her and her father. You know, they say that this young woman rarely smiles, but she was smiling really big towards the end of that week. The container that we shipped to La Palma finally arrived 2 days before we left. That didn't give us much time, only 1 day to distribute the medical equipment and supplies, as well as the school supplies. I only had 1 day to actually work in the computer lab with the new equipment. To distribute shoes and clothing, we ended up storing much of it for distribution here in the month of September, as well as during the effort that comes up in December. Yesterday, 17 missionaries flew to San Salvador. They are now in La Palma to do 2 weeks of work, which will focus on preaching in the community, as well as home Bible studies and a little bit of support for the school. Each time that they go down, each series of going has a different emphasis on it in that particular event. Chris George is the preacher of the Mount George congregation in Arkansas. He will be doing the preaching for the next 2 weeks. He is taking his wife and two ladies who will be conducting the VBS during these 2 weeks. Two other Hispanic members, or preachers rather, are traveling down, and they will be doing the personal in-home evangelism. They'll be working with the children's program and as well as the Christian school, as well as the Bible Institute that I mentioned. And they'll be meeting with the mayor in order to plan. And I'm just a little ahead of the pictures. Imagine that, Tracy. There we go. They'll be meeting with the mayor in order to help with this, the ambulance, to help the transfer of a donated ambulance. You know, the ambulance of this community was literally a canvas cot thrown in the back of a van. And this is a mountain town, mountain region. I mentioned earlier that the four clinics that they went to were because the people could not get down the mountain easily. Envision a van. It wasn't a pretty one. It bounced a lot, and that cot just bounced all over. This was a dream when I was there in June talking with Ralph. What if, what if, what if? The doors slammed open. That's sitting in Monette, Missouri right now and being outfitted, Brad, for people to go down, Brad, and help teach the people who will be working in this ambulance, Brad, in order to effectively transfer this over. So that will be conducted in December. But the container of medical equipment and clothing is getting ready for shipment in November for this work for the next trip in December. One of the things about this artistic town is you find swings all over the place. You'll find swings that a lot of people to use, including a couple of people that I think attend Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. One of them didn't want you to know that I was taking your picture. I told you, Kara, I'd put that one in there. What can I do to summarize and bring this to a close? Look at the faces of people. They're just like you and me. They have hopes and dreams and aspirations. The same God that loves you loves them. They live a little differently. They've got dogs running all over the place. The streets, they do run all over. Horns are honking all the time. Very similar to what's happening in Inca, Peru. But one thing about them, they do listen to the word. All it takes is having preachers. There are five churches there ready to be planted. All it takes is for that Bible Institute to get those men ready to go and start those congregations. I would envision a year from now I should be standing here sometime giving you a report telling you about those five churches that have been planted. Ocotepeque has planted two. Tehutla and four others would be five. That would make 9 congregations in just 4 short years. And growth, the potential, is phenomenal for this area. How can you learn more? Well, I have, and some of you have this, I have four copies of this if you'd like to see one. There are about 20 of you out there that have one of these copies. If you would so please me by bringing those on Wednesday night and passing them around to somebody, say, I have one if you'd like to read this. Or what you could do is go to this website. Don't worry about the address. If you need it, you can see Kara. Kara's got some information on the children's program, as well as she's got the website that I have listed there. But you can see some videos that I put together. A copy of the La Palma newsletter is listed there, as well as my other extended vacation that I enjoyed being in Ahuachapan and spending the time in El Salvador. But you can see so much more by going to the site if you'd like to ask for that. So why are we here tonight? We're here because we want to hear what 6-9 people from this congregation did this summer by spending time, through your help, and thank you so much for your prayers and for your support, through your help and efforts to send people. Not everybody sitting in this congregation is able to go out and be a missionary. I never thought I really could. The times I've tried in the past, it never was successful. Things happened. Maybe it was God telling me it's not time. But I've been blessed the last 2 years and continue to go next year and plan to continue to go next year and years beyond that. But we have an opportunity in order to help preach the gospel to people in places such as South America and Central America. But we have an opportunity to preach the gospel in people such as South Palm Beach County and Central Palm Beach County and North Palm Beach County and Seminole Ridge High School, where I teach, and wherever you work. Some people say that they believe in God. Isn't this great? We're a Christian nation. I believe in God. Great. What do you do about it? I believe in God. Have you repented of your sins? I don't know that I really need to do that. It's not hard to understand the Bible. If you're here tonight and you're one who came because people have invited you in the past, because you've been coming on a regular basis, and you have heard the gospel, maybe you are one that says that you believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Just as Acts 16:31 says, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And maybe you know you're a sinful individual who needs to believe and repent. Just as Acts 3:19 says, to repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If that's the case, it's time for you to confess. As Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And upon that confession, to then be immersed in water, as Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then from that, to then commit your life, your lifetime, to a faithful service, as Revelations 2:10 tells us, to be faithful unto death, I will give you a crown of life. If you are here and are subject to the call because you need to come forward, or if there's something in your life that's amiss that you need to come forward at this time and say, yeah, I need to get that right, the invitation is now extended that you might come as together we stand and sing.